All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Taxi Squad Podcast. Today is Tuesday, March 19th, 2024, and we are back with your Week 23 weekend preview. So as Craig always says, let's start up those fares and get into it. Welcome to the pod, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening. My name is Jay, and I'm here tonight with Alan, keeping the van cab warm in Craig and Maddie K's absence. Alan, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, man, I got that pregame nap in, and all of a sudden, like, all these games went off. I don't know what happened. It was just a few minutes.
Yeah, there's a lot of scoring from the looks of it early on in a lot of these games as well. Like, my goodness, Pasta with the Hattie. It's not even, it's midway through the third, okay, but still, this is quick. But for lack of a better phrase, this is when pedal to the metal happens and the trying really counts. It's week 23, hopefully best of luck to a lot of people in your quarterfinals for many managers and listeners out there, and if you are lucky enough and fortunate enough to have a bye week, then hopefully you're looking ahead quickly and early using your extra ads in this week to shore up and get ahead of the game. I guess, Alan, shall we roll through where we always start first?
Yeah, infirmary, Jeek, Joel Eriksson-Ek won't play tonight and tomorrow, which is Wednesday, but hasn't been ruled out for the weekend. Sounds like probably Ryan Hartman's still the grab there if you want to one in on Minnesota.
Yeah, definitely. I think keeping in mind, obviously, that Minnesota, I think, is one of the worst early quarterfinal and terrible semifinal weeks with week 23 and 24. So bear that in mind that you're getting him after, like, functionally to play three games through the next week and a half, right? So consider Hartman with that caveat in mind. But another injury report is Mitch Marner. He has been ruled out through to at least Friday. He plays on the Tuesday, Wednesday, as well as the Saturday and Sunday of this week 23. So there's a chance he plays that back-to-back, which is pretty good if you were hoping for it. There are several players that are of interest that could be picked up for, I guess, for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, no, I think the recommendation there was still Bertuzzi. So he seems to have taken his place on power play one. But Jacob Markstrom, goalie for Calgary, could be ready for Saturday. I believe they have a back-to-back this weekend, too, so he'll get one of those games. But yeah, it looks like right now it's just the tandem of Lidar and Wolf.
Were they scared from seeing Wolf's performance? Is that why on Monday?
Oh, man. But I mean, at this point, I don't know. Is Calgary still even in the race? I don't know what they have to play for other than just kind of giving some of the young guys time.
Yeah, aside from making it so that Elias Lindholm regrets his decision, I really don't think there's really anything else they're playing for. Heck, Elias Lindholm could be crying his way all the way to a cup for all we care with how Vancouver remains on a tear. Jeremy Lauzon. Now, he's been the serious bang daddy. He's basically been what everyone expected Luke Shen to be and then doubled. But yeah, I guess all that wear and tear and banging gets onto you, and now he is not only out, but he is week to week. They classified it as a lower body injury. That's unfortunate. I don't think Lauzon was even getting power play time or minutes, so he was clearly just a...
No, it was probably just a guy you kept for the hits, but it's probably just swollen cojones from going out there and hitting people.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the sucky part sometimes when you have players that are there for production. You can kind of recommend their slot up, if you can describe it that way. There's a new guy or a rookie or some utilized grizzled veteran that can step up and do the job. Yeah, not really for Jeremy Lauzon. That's just a blow. Sorry, fantasy managers, for it. But keep in mind, just make sure you IR plus him and then take the extra streaming spot.
probably a pretty big, possibly sneaky ad going into playoffs here. Liljegren practicing on Toronto's power play one is the defenseman. Not Morgan Riley. It looks like definitely tonight he got more power play. So far, got more power play time on ice. And I just happened to look at the lineup while they had a power play one out there, and it was Liljegren on, you know, power play with the guys like Matthews, Tavares, Nylander, or so on. I don't know. I'm sure you agree with me. If he keeps this deployment, 100% a guy you got to pick up. Probably makes him better than a lot of your third and fourth defensemen out there.
Yeah, my goodness. This is definitely something even as a Toronto Maple Leafs fan I didn't see coming. Well, I mean, the big one too is that top power play has been basically stapled together for what, the last 5 years? 6 years? Like, it's been a while, yeah, since any changes have happened there, right? We were talking about Bertuzzi, I guess, taking some time there. But yeah, Riley is not hurt. There's no Marner out. For Riley's position, this is just, I guess, a play-based decision by Sheldon Keefe. I would reserve some caveat to say don't grab Liljegren with the expectation that this is stapled onwards. This is clearly, obviously, Morgan Riley's spot to lose. And Liljegren, I think, if he, you know, he gives like an odd man rush, and even if Samsonov saves it, like, that could be enough to death nail him for the rest of the PP1 setup. But right now, you don't have to really worry about that because, one, Liljegren is playing, what, even with the recording, let's say it goes out Wednesday morning, he'd play Wednesday evening as well as a Saturday, Sunday back-to-back. There are three games to see. And if those three games have Liljegren on power play one, hell yeah, that power play is 26%, I believe, and clicking. That is a potent offense, and you want access to that on power play one. Speaking of which, if you look at Timothy Liljegren right now, he's, what, 10% owned?
So, yeah, dude, if you're hurting for a defenseman to give you something, it's worth a speculative ad, I think.
Absolutely. Like, who are you possibly giving up as your fourth or, heck, even fifth defenseman, right? Like, if you have any sort of upshot, I guess, blue chip potential for Liljegren to turn into that power play one quarterback, especially in these next 2 weeks... hell yeah, that could be a championship winning pickup.
Could be. Unfortunately, he hasn't done anything with it tonight, looks like. And they're losing to the Flyers right now.
Yeah, although it was 3-0 and they've gotten two goals into the third. I don't know if either of those goals were Liljegren, I guess.
No goal. No, I think one was on the power play, but Liljegren didn't get in on it.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and jump into the schedule. Of note, I mentioned it in the week preview, but again, this Sunday is not an off day. It's a little over half the teams in the league play, but for discussion's sake, I'm gonna keep on rolling the way we have. So Friday, the teams that play Friday and Sunday, Arizona, Carolina, Colorado, Dallas, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Washington. The only other team that plays Friday is Columbus. And then Sunday, you have Anaheim, Buffalo, Calgary, Edmonton, Florida, Montreal, New Jersey, New York Islanders, Ottawa, Philly, Tampa, Toronto, and Winnipeg. And for streamers, I'm sounding the horn on him again. Evgeny Kuznetsov, looks like he had a power play assist or just an assist tonight. But before tonight, he was 4 points in his last three. Still getting, you know, he's line two with some power play time. It was hard to see like a definitive top unit out of that last game, but it was messy. Like, I think all the different deployments they tried, like, they were only getting about 10-20%. But now, instead of Gensel on line two, it looks like it's Svechnikov, which I think probably pretty lateral, especially given that Gensel's just coming back from injury. It seems like Svech has kind of struggled coming back from injury. And then long shot, but Matty Beniers from Seattle, center only, 27%. His time on ice has gone from 17 to 21 minutes in his last eight games. Last game, he was between Ili Tolvanen and Jordan Eberle. He saw power play one last game, the unit with the most time on ice. I know that they tend to run them pretty evenly, but that's just the increase in the time on ice is what got me the most. I don't know if that's, you know, they're throwing in the towel and they're just giving the guy as much time on ice as he can take, see what he's made of. But I definitely thought that was the most interesting was that 21 minutes the last few games. And then Washington, no top six caps on the wire, no problem. This guy, while he's playing line three with patches, he's got power play one right now. And he is only 2% owned, center only, and he plays this Friday, Sunday off nightish nights for you. Goalies, a few back-to-backs to watch. I think you want to get those backup goalies on. Florida is Anthony Stolarz. Edmonton has Calvin Pickard, who probably worth watching tonight because he got the start. And then Winnipeg with Laurent Brossoit. And big boy bangers with Bang Daddy, Jeremy Lauzon out, Garnet Hathaway, next leading guy in hits there. Martin Pospisil, Calgary center right wing. He's back from suspension and back to hitting with no reduction in his time on ice. Also good for some shots here and there. And then from Arizona, Liam O'Brien, center 2%. Good for bangs, but he also does shoot. So there's always that potential point upside. And I will hand it over to Jay.
This week relatively is a tougher, I guess, weekend strategy setup where it's on the one end more open, but on the other end really dependent and matchup dependent on whether or not you have available slots. I guess the big focus no matter what is going to be Friday, given that Friday is the traditional off night. I guess we'll still roll through our traditional go through with the Thursday Sunday games, which teams play three games out of four nights, and then we'll roll down from there. So first, the best setup, Thursday Friday early weekend back to back, and then also they play their fourth game on Sunday, Carolina and Seattle, right? So of those two teams, Carolina's pretty owned up. I think Seattle is the big one we'll target, but just on Carolina, some names to go about. These are all players that are either comfortably under 50% or hovering just above. You have Jacob Slavin, 31%. He's a D1 pairing. Alan mentioned already Evgeny Kuznetsov with 26%. He's probably the big guy to target in terms of a skater, right? 26% ownership, center only, line two, power play two, but his power play two partner is Svech. Importantly to note as well, though, is their goaltending situation, because with Freddie Anderson back, he's still splitting starts with Kochetkov, right? So Kochetkov right now, he's 63%. He's definitely in a just-go-check category where I looked on certain leagues as well, and he's still available in some leagues. In terms of Seattle, everyone on this team below Adam Larson's ownership rate, 41%, is a gold mine to own. So first, I guess we'll even chat about like the net situation, right? Like Joey Decord got absolutely blown up last night early, got pulled. Philip Grubauer got thrown in, made some admirable saves, still let in the same number of goals as Joey. That net situation in Seattle is tenuous at best for both goalies. And no matter what happens this weekend, they have a back-to-back, right? So you're going to see both goalies play anyway. I don't know if they actually are competitive, so to speak, but I think there's nothing else they're playing for except from trying for a playoff spot. They're going to try to win as many games and ride as hot a hand whoever is in net. So both goalies, honestly, are pretty possibly owned. Like Joey went from 80% ownership, I think it was like at one point 85% ownership, and now he's at 55, right? So a lot of players have already dropped him. He's probably got a back-to-back setup going. Philip Grubauer is even more lowly owned, right? Like 38%. He's probably available, and you are most likely getting a bulk starter with Grubauer there. And if you're just listing off some skaters, right, in Seattle, like Adam Larson, D1 pairing, 41%. Oliver Bjorkstrand, he's 33%. Right wing, line two, power play two. And then the entire line one, power play one, is available, which is incredible. But Jordan Eberle, Eli Tolvanen, Matty Beniers, every one of these guys plays line one, power play one. Kind of incredible. You don't get these opportunities, but you do get it in the Seattle Kraken. So if you want early games, go for these guys. The other combination for three games and four nights, there's this Thursday and then no game on the Friday and then the Saturday, Sunday back-to-back. For those teams, like we have what, Edmonton, like you're looking at, well, basically Matthias Ekholm, right? Matthias Ekholm, he's still playing power play two, still in the D1 pairing.
He got an assist tonight on that opening goal.
True. And
so he always has that point upside, but mostly the peripherals are going to be the floor for him.
Yeah, and I think the other part really is like he was easily at 17-16% before, like when we started recording at a certain point, mentioning him as a streamer, and now he's at 52%. Like, people have caught on and latched on that the Edmonton Oilers are a very important team to pick up, especially for championship success.
I think in both playoff formats, Edmonton's one of the better schedules.
Oh, absolutely.
Any access to that team.
Yeah. You can't win without winning your semis and your finals, and you definitely can't get through without the great Edmonton Oilers schedule. So in the same vein, Adam Henrique, right? 26% owned, center left wing, line three, power play two. And Alan mentioned Calvin Pickard already. He's going to pick up wins because the Oilers just win.
But even in front of him, like, they've been playing pretty well. Calvin Pickard, he might most likely will get you the wins, but yeah, I could see that save percentage going either way.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things where you want to target, just as Alan mentioned, there's a couple of goalies that you could target, right? Like Pickard being one of them. But basically, you want forgiving teams, right? You don't want teams, for example, like, and I know they were on a heater recently, but even a team like the Nashville Predators, right? Like, I think they are bubble playoff teams, but truthfully, do we believe that the offensive talent and output there can outscore defensive woes and mistakes? I don't think so, right? Like, that team is probably going to win a lot of 3-2, 4-2 with an empty net games. That's not the Edmonton Oilers, right? The Oilers, you know, you could be 3-4 nothing down, but you give them enough ice time and the offense could be forgiving enough to bail out defensive mistakes. And that's what Calvin Pickard offers you, right? That's what Laurent Brossoit offers you. The team that has the offensive firepower to output and win you the game. Next team that is great on that too, Anthony Stolarz, right? Like, for Florida, he's in the same boat, right? That Florida offense is just clicking. It's tough to mention some of the streamers. Like, I'm even going to cheat a bit. There's Vladimir Tarasenko. If anyone missed the train on him, he's still 57% owned. Dual eligible on the wing, line one, power play two. Way below him, obviously, slotting down is like at Sam Bennett's 32% ownership. He's only center eligible, power play two. But
I mean, when he's healthy, he's a stud for any league that has bangs.
Absolutely, absolutely. And notably, Aaron Ekblad is out. So Oliver Ekman-Larsson is going to have free reign to quarterback that power play two. He's only 25% owned, and he also gets D1 pairing. So just a couple of names to spice in if you need Florida players. The New Jersey Devils are next. I mean, it's really tough, right? Like, there's Luke Hughes. He has a 60% ownership, D1, PP1. And after him, it's a massive drop, right? Dawson Mercer, 19% owned.
He looks like he's waking up. He had two goals tonight. And then I think he's been showing up on the... Okay, before... Okay, so it's been three games since his last goal, but he had two tonight. So he's maybe showing some signs of life there.
And I mean, he started the season at 73% ownership. So he has really seen a steep drop in terms of people believing in him. But if you want to believe in, I guess, the resurgent player at 19% owned Dawson Mercer on New Jersey with a good schedule, yeah, I'd be okay with that. He gets power play one time as well. No other listed player here on the suggested, I guess, ads is a power play one, but there's still Eric Howla. He gets power play two. He's only 8% owned. He's probably available. Monitor the Jersey goaltending situation. I mean, Jake Allen and Kaapo Kakkonen are kind of, I don't know who they're going to stick with. It looks like,
well, I mean, it looked like they were trying to give him like an actual tandem, but it looks like Jake Allen's been the better goalie so far. I was hoping Kakkonen would kind of take it and run with it. But, I mean, maybe give it a couple more games and he will. But so far, Jake Allen's been the better goalie, even though they haven't exactly won those games.
And for sure, they're going to get the back-to-backs anyway, so you'll get to see both of them play. But the Devils aren't necessarily a sieve. They've had goaltending woes, and I don't know if necessarily Jake Allen and Kaapo Kakkonen are the silver bullets to fix those issues.
Right? Oof. I mean, it's against the Pens tonight, but Jake Allen did put up a 947 save percentage.
Jeez. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you just got to remember, if they run him into the ground, he'll turn into a... He's one of those guys who will absolutely turn into a pumpkin.
And, I mean, they came out with a win in the dub, but it also is worth noting that if Pittsburgh scored two goals there and he still has a 947... Jeez, my goodness, New Jersey. They need to take some books from they need to take some pages from the Carolina Hurricanes book. You know, you gotta suppress some of these shots.
Only 20 shots on goal. Full game.
My goodness. Like, you can't win hockey games by having your goalie take 50 odd shots a night. You know, that's
Andre Vasilevsky would like to have a word.
Listen, those two Stanley Cup rings weigh heavily, and they
hurt his back.
We were
clearly
part of the story, I think, for one of those. Oh, man. Another team with a goalie that clearly is trying to, I guess, repeat with the same idea as the Andre Vasilevskys of prior seasons is the New York Islanders, right? And so this is another team where scoring is very top-centric and top-heavy. There are some power play two guys to mention. Anders Lee, he's at 29% on the wing. There is a power play one guy to mention. He's still lowly owned. Kyle Palmieri, 17% owned. And then you're kind of scraping the barrel, right? There's Ryan Pulock. If you don't have a Noah Dobson, you know, then you're basically trying to get, like, I guess, functionally the next best access to Islanders scoring, right, on the power play two, Ryan Pulock. There's what, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, 7%.
King in faceoffs leagues. And I would say even if, yeah, you get rewarded for bangs, like, he's pretty consistent with that. But, yeah, I didn't catch until, like, a game or two ago that he is up on second line now. Usually he's more, shut down two-way guy. But, yeah, line two with Barzal, it looks like they're trying to mix things up there.
That's definitely juicy, too, because Barzal is having an absolutely monster season, not just in point terms of point production, but specifically assists, right? He's been setting up some pretty juicy goals. And I guess the only thing to note specifically for the Islanders as well is that in this terms of this weekend, you would be picking the Islanders up specifically with the intention of re-dropping them down, because they are one of the teams similar to Tampa, which we will mention later, that has a two-game week 24, right? So, and I believe not only do they have a week 24 two-gamer, they also have it only on heavy nights. They are a streaming spot, no holding spot only. And I mean, even for the last guy we'll mention, the Islander, Semyon Varlamov, right? Same idea. He's the guy you pick up for the back-to-back, and you need to make sure that you drop him before, so to speak, any games play, and then you're locked into, you know, a player that plays two games in a pivotal week 24. Ottawa's the next team, and Ottawa's got, I guess, pretty much one key player that's interesting in terms of a skater. I guess you can mention also the goalies. So there's Jonas Korpisalo and Anton Forsberg and whoever gets the start, basically.
I don't know how much I trust Ottawa goalies at all. They're still just either they'll win a game pretty closely or they just stink.
Yeah, I think the problem too is you almost have to watch out for making sure to bench any of these goalies if you're gonna hold them definitely. Like, even if they come in relief, it might not be too pretty. But in terms of skaters, Shane Pinto, right? Like, you have Josh Norris. Josh Norris is out, but Shane Pinto now is taking line one time. Philly's got a couple of interesting characters, right? Travis Sanheim's dipped below 50% now. He's still in the D1 pairing. Joel Farabee at 22% is line two power play one. Probably the most interesting character is Cam York. I know they taxi them up and change them up constantly, but at 14%, he's currently D1 power play one. That is an interesting, I guess, deployment setup and status for a player that's 14% owned. Samuel Ersson, for example, also is currently, let's see, did they end up winning against the Leafs tonight? Yeah, so they won against the Leafs tonight and Ersson backstopped them, right? So at 39% owned, you get some pretty, I guess, juicy, I guess, access, so to speak, to a goaltending team that honestly is pretty I don't know if I would call them spicy, so to speak, but again, I think Craig mentioned it before. It is now 60. Funny enough, the Flyers just played 69 games.
Nice.
But this is the end stretch, right? So they're still sitting points up on a playoff spot. They don't have games in hand, so to speak, but they definitely are points up on a playoff spot. And again, it's a torts team, right? So you are, if there's any player that would specifically benefit most, it is the goaltending, because they would skew the shots to the outside and, you know, try to basically just block out and allow the goaltender a clear lane to block all shots. We're going to go through two last teams for these three games out of four. There's Tampa and there's Winnipeg, right? So Tampa, I mean, Alan, I might even want to say you'd want to run.
DeClaire is absolutely the guy to own right now. He's line one with Point Kucherov, And he's, I guess, now the new net front guy on the power play. He's got 4 points in his, I think, the 3 games he's been at the Lightning so far. Dude, he's looking good out there. He's definitely jump-started the team.
Yeah, and my goodness, like, you feel for some of the other guys here. I'm listening, what, Nick Paul, Anthony Cirelli, like, all these guys got immediately demoted to power play two with the addition of Anthony Duclair, and frick, I can't blame him. 4 points in the past few games? Yeah, okay. Check for the back-to-back on Jonas Johansson. I don't know who they play. I think they play the Ducks
on Sunday.
On the second.
Yeah,
that team is freshly eliminated. They might even throw some guys from, you know, the farm out there, right? Just to give them some minutes on the ice. Like, it's Tampa needs every single win they can muster, right? Like, they are deep in the throes of a playoff push and a playoff chase, right? So I definitely think that Jonas Johansson is a juicy pickup. I think they ran Vasilevsky into the ground, but they are not going to run him on a back-to-back, are they?
Yeah, sometimes they do. So. Sometimes they do. I honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if they do.
Yeah, to secure the win against the Ducks. Like, it's possible, given they only play 2 games next week. But if not, Monderet and Jonas Johansson, that should be an easy... Well, I want to like knock the table just in case. I don't want to jinx the team, but it should be an easy dub, right? Winnipeg's the last team with the 3 games and 4 nights. You have Sean Monahan, you have Brendan Dillon, Nino Niederreiter, and again, the aforementioned Laurent Brossoit. I think Monahan's the main interesting one. He's still at 35% owned, line 2 power play 1. I think people just kind of forgot about him, to be honest. Like, he's not super exciting. Winnipeg doesn't, like, blow teams away. Like,
they had the best schedule last week, so I don't know how many of those people hung on to some of those guys. Monahan would be the one guy to hang on to, if anything. Just to see where it went.
True. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think for any listeners out there, if you are still holding on to Sean Monahan, then yeah, continue to do so. Like, I think you can probably drop him for week 24. I don't want to say that too early, but yeah, week 24 remains to be seen, but definitely for week 23 for the weekend. Yeah. You want Sean Monahan if you can fit him in the center buffed heavy slot. We're going to talk about those Friday, Sunday off nights. They're just a couple of extra teams to rattle off. Obviously, some of the teams overlap and some of them don't. Arizona is a big Friday, Sunday off night team. Geez, Arizona's got a ton of players under 40% owned, 30% owned even, right? There's Lawson Krause, Nick Schmaltz, right? Dylan Gunther. Like, these guys are getting power play 1 or power play 2 access, right? And Arizona is just kind of the forgotten team in the desert. I know they went on that crazy losing streak. Yes, they are no longer playoff relevant, but no, that team is still going to play hard, play fast, and heck, like, you even have an interesting situation in net, right? Connor Ingram, like, he was injured for, I think, 2 weeks at a time, and Karelvich Melka seemed to play his way back into, like, a timeshare. Connor Ingram now is at 51% owned. Like, he's approaching streamable territory, and I definitely know that what's been available to be shown so far with Connor Ingram is definitely keep worthy, so to speak. And Karelvich Melka, this has not been necessarily his season, but he's been playing and stepping it up as well. It's just that Ingram's been playing just that much better, right? So Arizona, something to monitor net. Players to pick up for skaters. Definitely a team you should pencil in, especially with the Friday off night in week 23. Colorado's got a couple of guys available, like Arturi Lehkonen's at, 49% dual wing eligible. He's got power play 2 time. He scored the game winner against the Oilers a couple nights back. Like, this is a good hockey club that you want access to, and Arturi Lehkonen's just around the cusp, right? Casey Mittelstadt just came in through trade. He gets power play 2 time as well. Now, I see that Drouin is listed as power play 1.
Yeah, gross. I don't know why they're doing that. Come on. Take him off, put Lehkonen in, or even Mittelstadt. Come on, what are they? I don't know what they're thinking. Although I can't say much because Drouin does have 2 assists tonight, one of them on the power play.
It's a weird one. Like, definitely 11% owned. Like, he's on the less scarce left wing. But I mean, if you have a streamer spot available, like, this is, you know, these are off night dudes, right? That would be valuable to pick up. You also have power play 2 guys, like Samuel Girard is probably the last guy. I didn't see how much owned he was, but I know he's comfortably under 50%. He's under Jonathan Drouin's ownership, and Jonathan Drouin's at 11%. make sure as well in the same way, Colorado's another team that can easily outscore. So look for Justus Enunin. He's going to be playing, not on a back-to-back, but just to see, right? Like these teams are in the other end, right? Where they're trying to rest up players who are not going to, you know, like they are very integral to a playoff push. And what, Colorado's probably reasonably locked into the central top three anyway. I guess they would play for seeding. I guess they would rather play the Nashville Predators than they would play the Dallas Stars. But I don't know if that means they would necessarily run Georgiev into the ground. Like they really don't have anyone else aside from Georgiev. So I assume they would probably try to, you know, keep him well-rested with the playoffs upcoming. But just look, maybe Justus Enunin doesn't get a game. If he does, definitely worth a pickup. Dallas is the team competing with Colorado, actually, for that central division. A couple of guys, most of Dallas, by the way, is like 60%+ owned. So you have to dig a bit deeper into the well. You're looking at Mason Marchment, right? Left wing, line two, power play two. I guess the honorable mention would have to be, I know he's really highly owned now. I looked, he's 60 or 61% owned, but Wyatt Johnston has been on an absolute tear the past 2 weeks. And if you have the option and he's still hanging around your league, I know in 40% of leagues he must be. So Mason Marchment is definitely the most likely streamable option. But if somehow Wyatt Johnston's still around, center right wing, you definitely want him at 60% ownership. Playing with Wyatt Johnston is Logan Stankoven. He's at 60%, also center right wing. He's playing on left, I guess, line three, power play two. Dallas is just, you know, a good, well-balanced, well-oiled team, and anyone in the top three lines can reasonably produce and carry, I guess, the offensive load for the night. You're really just looking at deployment and availability on the power play. And again, Dallas is another team since they can outscore their problems. Scott Wedgwood is worth a look at 11%. And I guess the last two teams we're going to bounce onto. So there's Pittsburgh, there's Washington. Pittsburgh has a whole slew of potential players and potential wingers. Playing with Crosby, right, there's Brian Rust, Ricard Raquel, Michael Bunting, Riley Smith, right? All four of those guys under 50% owned. All four of those guys, right wing, left wing, like they all stand a chance at being the guy to supplant Jake Guentzel. They all stand a chance in these next 2-3 weeks to make that stamp and be the difference maker, especially on a good week 23 weekend schedule to make a difference for you. Lars Eller at 2% is the deep cut where he's getting power play one despite being on the third line, and at 2% owned, you want Crosby exposure, right? So, and I don't know how much you believe in the Pittsburgh team. I mean, they let in, what was it, 2 goals and 2 shots the other night, but Alex Nedeljkovic, he's 9%. Washington's got a really good week 23 schedule overall, but the weekend part, I think you can reasonably drop them after the Friday stream if they're still available. None of these guys should be available functionally because they have, like, they should be gone already from listeners picking them up, but if they're still available, Tom Wilson, Dylan Strome, TJ Oshie, right? These guys are all power play two, power play one guys. And then you have some deeper cuts, right? Like Rasmus Sandin is a power play two quarterback. Beck Malenstein is a line four only dude that hovers around 3 hits a game. And then Alan mentioned his name, what, Hendrix Lapierre. He gets power play one time. He plays with Ovi. Look at the goalie situation, right? Like Lindgren had a good night last night playing against, It was the Flames. Yeah, it was the Flames. Actually, and Lindgren won against the Canucks a couple nights back as well. So it seems like he's getting multiple consecutive starts, but it also means that Kemper is probably likely to be due a start upcoming as well. But aside from that, right, we're coming to the tail end here. There's a couple of back-to-backs to talk about. Like if you have a week 23 back-to-back on Thursday and Friday, look for again back to the Carolina stream suggestions that we had, the Seattle stream suggestions we had. If you're looking for a Friday-Saturday stream, there's just one team. It's the Columbus Blue Jackets, right? I looked. They have so many line one guys. Everyone on their line one is available and power play one. There's Johnny Gaudreau, Boone Jenner, and Nylander, not William Nylander, but his brother, Alex Nylander, right? So you still have power play one guys like Kirill Marchenko available. not even listed in the notes, but just like off the top of my head, like Ivan Provorov is probably around. So there's just so much, I guess you can call it talent or fantasy gold, so to speak, fantasy gold mines in the water in Columbus. Toronto's got some good young guys as well in terms of back-to-back. So the Saturday, Sunday back-to-backs, there's Toronto, there's Calgary, there's Winnipeg. We covered the Winnipeg Streamers, so it's just Calgary and it's just Toronto. Toronto Streamers, I think you start with Liljegren. Like, you just check to see and hold to see if that power play one sticks. Other guys that are, I guess, in defense that would be valuable would be Jake McCabe, right? If they're willing to shift it up and change it out. Like, I know he's still getting D1 pairing. Who knows, to see what the deployment's going to look like. Tyler Bertuzzi at one point was getting power play one. He's currently still back onto the power play two. But alongside him, Matthew Nyes, Max Domi. These guys are worthwhile to pick up and grab, right? So just potential streaming options just in Toronto. I don't know their goalie situation quite as well, but I think it's mainly Samsonov just rolling through. So in that case, maybe less streaming opportunity there. Calgary, right? You have a bunch of power play one guys available. Yegor Sharangovich, Jonathan Huberdeau, Andrei Kuzmenko. All these guys are either dual position eligible. Yegor Sharangovich is, as Craig says, a fantasy unicorn, right? So he's tri-eligible, and he gets power play one. You do not need to worry about fitting Sharangovich in your lineup unless you already have a full lineup, right? Like, if you have a forward slot available, he will go in. And aside from that, just monitor to see if Markstrom is coming back, because Dustin Wolf and Dan Vladar are not getting the job done. I'm sorry. And, I mean, Calgary's right now, okay, they're quite a bit of ways, but they need to get on a winning streak if they're trying to get into the dance. And yeah, they're going to need their top goalie to come back in for them to have any shot on it. And there are your streamers taking you through some strategy. And Alan, I guess we'll throw it back to you for some mailbags.
Time to hit the mailbag. We've got a couple questions here. Tried to answer this one for him like before the 7 o'clock game, so it's too late for that. But the Hockey Gods on Discord is wondering if it is okay to drop Swayman for Pickard this week. He kind of goes into his reasoning there, but his big downside is the guy who has Allmark is a contender, and I could see him taking him to get all the Boston starts going forward. Like, I responded to him in the Discord. I would only do it if it's the end of the week and you need that Pickard start as a Hail Mary. Otherwise, I would trust in Swayman to get it done. Like, even if that next start is against the Rangers.
Yeah, I'm going to say clearly, like, Pickard is, unless you have a magic crystal ball and can see that, you know, Stuart Skinner's going to get injured anytime soon, like, you do not drop a 1B Boston tandem for an Edmonton backup goalie. You just can't do it.
Or a spot starter or a stream.
Yeah, you can't do it. And then the other one too is like Boston doesn't have a great fantasy schedule, but I think Boston still plays 3 games every night, right? Like, if assuming he has no available starts or available places to start Swayman. And I would seriously tout that, given that you'd probably start Swayman over many, many other goalies in the league anyway. There's really no other reason to maximize the start by dropping Swayman for Pickard. You could, but I don't do it.
Like I said, that would be a Hail Mary. You really need that start, because it's either, you know, you win and you move on to the next round, and that's a problem for future you if Swayman gets picked up, or you lose and then it really doesn't matter who has Swayman. The other one here is from Party Never Dies. So he's got his second place bye in a 10-team Cats League. Cool. So he's kind of using his ads to shore up. He's looking for hits and blocks. He was thinking of dropping a defenseman for Yanni Hakanpaa for the hits and blocks. His current 5 D-men are Yosi, Quinn Hughes, Letang, Carlson, Matheson, none of which I would drop, because even Quinn Hughes, he'll give you the points. He doesn't do much as far as hits and blocks, but still a pretty elite guy. But yeah, definitely those others I would not, hoping that you get that much more of a bump. Or does he drop a winger? Also, he's short a swinger. A streamer spot. Picked up Jeff Skinner just to see if he's actually turning it around. Which is smart. I've picked up Alex Tuch. So he's got quite a stacked roster, as you do in 10 teams. He's got Crosby, McCann, Marchand, Brady Tkachuk, Cole Caulfield, Willie Nylander, Letang, Quinn Hughes, like we said, Yossi, John Carlson, Austin Matthews, Boone Jenner, Martin Natchez, Matheson, Kempe, and Nuge. I think you and I discussed it before the show, Jay. I think Natchez is probably the guy you just kind of drop and don't even look back. Definitely if you want to shore up hits and blocks. Other than that, I mean, I don't know. It'd have to be whoever kind of has a weaker schedule that week.
Yeah, I heard you say and rattle off the whole team roster, and I was like, oh yeah, that sounds like a freaking amazing team. And then you like ended off on Austin Matthews, right? Like, this is a stacked lineup to the hill.
Right? He's got a couple first round guys in there.
Yeah, he's got like multiple guys there. And I think for Party Never Dies, right? Like, I think there's to some degree an over tinkering that could happen. And I'm not saying if you got to second place and you're 10 teamer, right? So good on you anyway. Looks like what you're doing is working well. But I guess I would simply caution against this one idea, which is if you want to drop any of those five D-men, basically none of the D-men you mentioned, Yossi, Quinn Hughes, Letang, Carlson, or Matheson, are ever going to compare to the hits that Yanni Hakanpaa can give. But technically speaking, I'd wager to say you were not in second place because you ended up destroying teams in hits solely. Like, if you were to look at your team from the looks of it, right? Like, Yossi is kind of like an all-encompassing player. Absolutely. It looks like he's producing all over. But Quinn Hughes is, we made the joke in the preseason that it's like, what are we going to expect? Like, he's going to score like 60, 70 points. Like, aside from that, he's not going to match, you know, the value and output production. Well, here I am, Jay here in week 23, eating my words, right? Like, I guess he's done it. But Quinn Hughes is not doing that because he's continued smacking and, like, peripheral delivering as such. He's, you know, exactly what we described, like an offensive-minded producing defenseman. And so is Letang.
So even if you drop any of those guys, like for Hakanpaa, if it's a busy day where all those guys play, Hakanpaa's going to be the guy you bench. Like, unless you really want to chase those hits and blocks, he's going to be your odd guy out. I would play any of those four out of those other five on any given night over Hakanpaa.
I do wonder, because I'm looking ahead at the week 24 schedule. I think Dallas does have a pretty juicy streaming schedule. Oh, I so lied. Dallas has no juicy streaming schedule for week 24 at all. But they do have a juicy streaming schedule for week 23. Aside from that, unless you're trying to look, like right now it says, what, you even have a second place bye. So you're not even playing this week. You're playing in week 24. Yeah, Dallas has a terrible week 24. That's all on heavy nights. Don't worry about it. Do not pick up Yanni Hakanpaa for any of those guys. You're not going to get to play him anyway. And then the other one there is if you are, you know better, you are in second place, so I'll give you that, and you really want Yanni Hakanpaa, then I think, and Alan, I think, mentioned together, like that, the one player to drop would be Natchez, right? I think Natchez would be the guy you drop. But man, even then, I'm looking, Natchez plays, geez, all those games seem so winnable next week. Like Pittsburgh, Detroit, Montreal, right? Like,
Montreal's schedule next week, man. Avs, Flyers, Canes. Cole Caulfield, I would say, is on the chopping block. But I still don't know if that's who you drop to chase hits and blocks.
No. Party Never Dies. Let's be real here. Your team is good. You're in second place by, like, tell me in the Discord later, who's in first place? Is it some Connor McDavid dude? Does the guy have Nathan MacKinnon? Like, there are some guys that are just top bonafide dudes that just will their team to victory, right? You have one of those guys in your team, Austin Matthews, right? But it really depends. If you get a stinker from either one of those guys, that's the way fantasy hockey rolls. It just is what it is. But you are not going to blow up your second-placed finishing team for Yanni Hakanpaa. Let's be real here. That's not the way to go.
But yeah, with that, it's going to wrap it for tonight's show. We're going to go ahead and park the van cab. As always, we ask everyone in listener land to like, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. You can also follow us on Twitter and YouTube. All that info is in the show notes. And if you haven't already, come join us on the 5-Hole Discord. We have over 2,500 fantasy hockey connoisseurs in there. Good luck and good hockey this week, and thanks for listening.
We'll pick you up later.